Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's crunch time now in Albany. The state fiscal year begins April 1st, and they're trying to complete the annual budget by then, as they do every year, but this is not about green shade accountants. The fate of Mayor de Blasio's pre-K and after-school programs and of charter schools are being linked to the budget, and they both are mired in the fog of last-minute Albany deal-making. So with us to explain where things stand right now in that fog and what to watch for between now and April 1st is Jimmy Vilkind, who covers the Capitol for Capitol New York. Hi, Jimmy. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Pleasure to be here.
On pre-K funding, Governor Cuomo was on the show a couple of times last week. He promised state funding for all the pre-K the city can implement, just no new city income tax on the wealthiest, the way the mayor wants to fund it. So last Monday, I asked him if all the money means all the money. I said, if the mayor has got 29,000 kids to fill 29,000 seats for next September, the way he is saying he thinks he will all the money from the state be there for them? And the governor said,
yeah, forget the numbers, Brian. I said all along that we will fund the need, right? We'll fund the need. We have the funding allocated, $1.5 billion in my budget. The Senate will have another number. The Assembly will have another number. But forget the numbers. It's we will pay for the need of pre-K because we want to do it. And as quickly as cities can bring it online, we will fund it.
The governor here a week ago today, Jimmy Vilkind from Capitol New York here now. And Jimmy, that sounded very unambiguous. But I read in the coverage over the last few days that the state Senate has a $500 million pre-K budget line that the governor called a Christmas wish list. So is he backtracking at all, or what should we make of this?
I think at this point it is still a little bit of posturing. Keep in mind that Cuomo talked about that $1.5 billion figure with you in the interview last week. That's a five-year figure. And for this coming school year, it's $100 million statewide. Of course, you and your listeners know that Bill de Blasio's plan would have been for this tax, which he estimated would have brought in $530 million, $340 million of which would have been dedicated to pre-K.
Right, but so I right did there, ask the governor about his $100 million line for this year, and he said, again, forget the numbers. I will fund whatever they're ready to do. So do you get the sense that that's a real promise?
You know, it's difficult to say. I think that he wants to set up a system where perhaps the numbers can be fudged, and he knows that he must believe that de Blasio's estimate is high. In a sense, he's trying to set up a system where there's a reimbursement. What we're starting to hear from lawmakers is that the way this will be set up is not a dedicated, you know, you have this much money, you have X money, but we will put money into this fund, call it the dedicated pre-K trust fund or whatever you will, and then any district in the state can apply to have reimbursement from that fund. I think that that's what they're driving toward. And what we've heard about the state Senate, which is controlled by the Republicans and the independent Democrats, this is how they structured things in their one-house budget. And so I think what the governor is trying to drive at is there's a certain extent of, you know, we'll believe it when we see it. We'll believe the 29,000 kids when they show up on the first day of school in September. But there's also an element of how can we set up a system where we're treating districts around the state fairly, where we're giving districts around the state access to this kind of funding. And I think that's why he's hesitant to put a specific number there, because the minute he puts the number there, he feels the money will be spent.
And maybe that still works. Maybe that's all a good idea, because if the state is setting aside this trust fund to be released to New York City and any other locality that is actually ready with expanded pre-K, depending on how many kids sign up, maybe that's still saying yes to every kid, but without throwing money down the drain.
Right, and it's also a way of saying if you're a small district who doesn't have the capacity, doesn't have the desire, doesn't have the will to be implementing this, someone who's maybe skeptical about, well, how long are these state dollars going to be here? What's that going to do to my local tax bill? You know, particularly for many upstate school districts, these are big concerns. I think that it gives a way for a politician to say this is not a mandated program. You know, there's so much complaints from school districts, from local government entities about state-imposed mandates, that this would be a way to structure it and that you're arguably not creating the mandate. You're allowing people to opt in. And, of course, what we're hearing from New York City is, yes, opt us in.
And is the mayor okay with the amount of money and the distribution mechanism, even if not the way it's coming from Albany rather than the city income tax hike on the top 1% that he prefers?
Well, the mayor has I think since the announcement of that Senate compromise came out last week, the mayor has done two things. He praised that compromise, and his aides sort of suggested that this is, you know, there are two ways to get to his overall goal of reliable funding for pre-K. And then he also said that he would prefer that tax. I think that the general political consensus up here is that the tax ain't going to happen. And so really the mayor is sort of looking at a dollar amount and looking at where those dollars are exactly going to come from. And as you said in your intro, it's still going to be the fog of Albany budgeting before we have a firm answer to that question. But he was happy. He was happy that his dollar figure was met. And again, you know, certainly the expectation of everybody is that all numbers, everyone assumes that de Blasio, to an extent, is bidding high. And logic would dictate that, for now, he is bidding a little bit high.
Next issue, also a contentious one between Cuomo and de Blasio, charter schools. The state Senate has a bill, I understand, that would seem to override Mayor de Blasio in his blocking of the co-locations with regular public schools for a few charter schools, even though he approved most other co-locations. The governor here on Friday said he's for charter schools, more than the mayor is. But in this clip, I ask him whether he wants the state to reverse those co-location decisions made by the city. This begins with my question. You're pressuring the mayor, from your standpoint as governor, to do something with the New York City public schools in terms of co-location?
No. No, co-location, that's up to a mayor. It's up to the mayor of the city. It's up to the mayor of Buffalo. It's up to the mayor of Albany. That's up to a mayor. I don't want to see a system statewide where charter schools can be aborted by any mayor or any city.
So can you clarify, Jimmy Vilken from Capital New York, the governor's position on charter schools? He says hands-off co-location decisions, which are local, but he wants to guarantee that charter schools can exist and grow, as he said in that clip. Is that code for the same thing? We're going to find a backdoor way to stop these co-location denials without calling it that? Or is he looking for something different? I actually couldn't tell.
It's a little bit hazy at this point. You have to keep in mind that this is, it's really a kind of a governor talking and not really wanting to talk too specifically about New York City, but this actually isn't an issue in most other places in the state. In Albany, for example, where I live, the charter schools are in separate buildings. There is no co-location here. So to say that co-location, or, for example, what the mayor's talking about, which is trying to charge some sort of rent for charter schools, would be seen and I think is being cast by the governor as stopping their progress, or to use the phrase he used with you, aborting those charter schools. So I think what we're talking about, and I think what the governor is talking about, is trying to make sure that the mayor doesn't stop it. I think that really what we're talking about is money, and we're talking about the governor not wanting to allow the mayor to put financial hurdles in front of these charter schools, whether they're easily hurdles that are easy to jump over or hurdles that are impossible to jump over. I think that this is something of a setup as the mayor does and Chancellor Farina think a little bit about whether rent should be charged, to whom, for what, for when, et cetera. And I think we'll see some sort of legislative protections. Again, the state Senate budget here put in language that gave an affirmative right of charters to co-locate. There are also other funding streams where if a mayor were to charge rent, there would be some way that you could give charter schools access to some other type of financing. For example, they can't access school capital money as of right now. You could amend the law to give them access to school capital funding, and perhaps that would be sort of a compromise. You can be charged rent, but you could also get access to build your own facilities if you so chose. And again, that's sort of where we are now. The politics of this are very interesting. You know, Governor Cuomo for 3 years has been a charter supporter, but he's been a relatively quiet charter supporter. And now he is putting himself right at the forefront of this movement and trying to be their biggest, most powerful champion here at the Capitol.
Why?
In addition to your show, there was a speech he gave to the Abney and another radio interview over the weekend.
And why? I mean, his harshest critics say it's all for campaign donations from these pro-charter hedge fund billionaires. I don't tend to think that it's that simple, but why?
Well, I think that that's an element of it. I think that he's happy to slap the mayor again. I think that that sort of, you know, wonderful little rivalry between a governor and a mayor is another element of it. I think he does believe in charter schools. And I think, as the governor has said so many times, he sees the public school system with associations of superintendents, strong teachers unions, et cetera, as sort of just thwarting progress on the statewide system. And what he says is that charter schools provide a way to disrupt it. They provide a laboratory of ideas. And I think he believes that. And we've heard that time and again. The governor has long been sort of pushing against what he calls the education bureaucracy, which is essentially, you know, teachers unions, the superintendents association, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Before you go, why is this part of the state budget negotiations, this charter school policy debate? Are there spending lines at issue here?
There are theoretically spending lines, but there are not necessarily spending lines. The reason things become part of the budget process in Albany that aren't, you know, strictly part of the budget are that the budget becomes one gigantic document of 8 bills that has lots of great stuff that people love to vote for, Medicaid funding, increases in school aid, et cetera, and maybe some things that people of either Democrats or Republicans don't want to support. So the way to give leverage on an issue is to stick it somewhere in the budget. And we're hearing this with all kinds of things, from the DREAM Act, which gives undocumented immigrants access to state tuition aids, to this idea of public campaign finance, to sticking that in the state budget as well. And the way it works is Governor Cuomo knows that if we get past this March 31st deadline to this April 1, that's when the state fiscal year crosses over, what would previously happen is governors would send up these extender bills, which basically would say, okay, this is a bill that just, you know, funds government for another week, a month, or whatever. And under David Patterson's administration in 2010, on his way out the door, he figured out that he could just put lots of big-time policy stuff into those extenders. But they didn't have to be simple extenders. They could be essentially his budget. So what it does is it sets up a choice between a governor and a legislature of either pass these bills, these budget bills, or shut down the government and have the blood of shutting down the government on your hands. I'm speaking metaphorically there. And so I think, again, that's why you're seeing this come up right now. And also, this is an election year, so I don't expect, after this state budget is adopted, I think that a lot of the wind of the sails is going to come out of Albany. I think people are going to look toward the campaigns. Some lawmakers are running for Congress, and again, the congressional primaries will be in June. So there's sort of a sense of sort of now or never at the Capitol, too.
All right. Pre-K, charter schools, and other drama coming in these last 2 weeks of budget negotiations before the April 1st deadline in Albany. Jimmy Vielkind in Albany from Capital New York. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, how caffeine hurts, helps, and hooks us. Stay with us.